Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Prepare Radio with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good morning and welcome to Prepare Radio. This is Diane Thomas, your host. It is Monday morning, so we are talking about practical Christianity. Does what you believe work? And as usual, we are going to be covering our current topic, which is the looking at our purpose now and recognizing that the effects of what happened at the resurrection were complete, that in our spirit we are already one in Him and with Him, with God, so that our focus and our attention is now in the developing of us as a complete being, spirit, soul, and body, that we would be one. Just as we are one with Him now, and He is one with the Father, we're all one now in our spirit. But we are progressing in overcoming the hindrances. Think of God's spirit within you, and your spirit joined with His spirit within you, dammed up by your flesh, by your misbeliefs, by your wounds, keeping His life from entering and flooding your soul and your body. It's all inside. What God's goal for you is in the inside. It's in you. You know, we get all caught up in what's going on out there, what's going on in somebody else's life. And we all have our own perspectives on it, but most of the time it really seems like we don't think about it at all. We don't take the time to go, okay, now, by what I'm doing, what is this saying about what I believe? And when we really look at that, we treat God far worse than we would treat or expect anyone to treat us. We try to manipulate Him. We try to browbeat Him into doing what we want Him to do, or coerce Him, or use law against Him. And these all presuppose the notion that God doesn't love us, and that He doesn't have a plan, and that what He's doing is to us and not for us. I'm not going to get too distracted by what's going on out there, but what we want to look at is, instead of what's going on out there, what we are thinking about. What conclusions, what are the presuppositions we have regarding our perception of any of our situations? Most of us have been taught that it's our job to change the world, or it's our job to change ourselves. And sometimes I use the technique on myself and on others. What if you were telling this to someone else? What if somebody came to you and gave you the story that you're sharing with God? What would your advice be to them? Odds are you'd remind them of God's love for them, and that everything He's doing in their lives is to bring us into rest, into healing, into peace, into greater knowledge of Him. And yet we ourselves assume that what God is doing in our lives is because we've done something wrong, because we've missed Him, or just we accept it because this is the cross we have to bear while we're here on this world. So we miss often the opportunities that God has for us. And one of the reasons we do that, one of the reasons we miss that these opportunities is because we aren't willing to give up those ideas and beliefs that we need to give up, and we're not willing to take on what we are to be doing. We've got, for instance, this is just a parallel. There are so many people seeing what is wrong in economically throughout the world. This is what's wrong. This is what's wrong. This is what the government should or shouldn't be doing. This is what, you know, the businesses should or shouldn't be doing. And this is what the mortgage company should or shouldn't be doing. And everybody's got an opinion and everybody's got a thought. And yet, there's all this energy on what they're doing and what they should be doing and what we should be doing to get them to be doing what they should be doing. So all the energy and attention is being brought to bear on those external things. And because of that, because that takes so much energy and effort and time, often we are neglecting those things which are right before us and right within us. And if we did those, if we paid attention to what our job is, those other things, God has them under control. He's not waiting for us. For us to think that God's not going to do something that He has planned one way or another, because we rant and rave, that's just really thinking that we have a very small God. To think that you can keep God from blessing you when He wants to bless you, that's a very small God. And that's where you want to start. Lord, is this you? Lord, what am I thinking here? Now, yeah, it's hard because we've not been taught how to develop a relationship with Him. And we start with the very basics. Is God real or not? Is He just this really powerful guy with a heart of stone sitting around on a cloud somewhere, sending His angels to judge us? So you have this huge hourglass that's ticking away the time, and that at certain times He does things, and otherwise He's just pretty much left us to our own devices. Or is He the creator and the involved, loving, and to say Father can be so limiting, but the care that He has for us, there are things about God that are better felt than telt. You have to experience it, experience Him before you can understand His realness. So not being able to, and not knowing how to experience Him, hinders us, not only hinders our purpose, but keeps us distracted. Because we like to do what we know how to do. And we know how to see what's going on and try to do something about it. And especially when everybody else is trying to do something about it. And this is just not this particular situation, but any particular situation. When we, you know, when there's a disaster, we all want to pray for the people that were hurt. We all want to do something. We all want to help. There's something in us that sees a need and wants to meet that need. The problem is that God has assigned need meters. He has those tasks assigned. And so often we are trampling on somebody else's project when we respond out of seeing a need. A need does not constitute a ministry. Just because you see something that needs to be done doesn't mean it's your job to do it. So how do you know what your job is, your project? It all goes back to how important it is to know how to know God and then to know Him. What is your purpose here? To know God. What is eternal life? To know God. His kingdom is done. He's finished it. It doesn't need to be built. It doesn't need to be expanded. You and I are now entering His kingdom. And I want to enter it and not come back out. That doesn't mean going anywhere. But establishing His kingdom here, His spirit reign here. What that looks like, we have yet to see. But it's so encouraging to know that God can change how He does things at any time. You know, we all think we're in the end times. Well, it's sort of like we're always in the end times. And I'm not all that concerned about the end times. I'm looking forward to the beginning times. What's He going to do next? What's He got up His sleeve? And I'm excited about it. Not because it will be easy, not because there will be fewer problems, but because I know God's nature. I know how generous He is and loving and giving and how righteous He is. His concept of truth is absolute. So we can rely on Him to straighten things out. And we think that when things are shaken, that it's a bad thing, that God didn't want things to be shaken. But I'll tell you, there's a time when we're rocking the boat or when other people are rocking the boat and it's appropriate to stop the boat from rocking. But when He's rocking the boat, let's not be the ones to interfere and say, oh, no, God, far be it. You know, when Jesus was saying, you know, I'm going to go into Jerusalem and be crucified. I think it was Peter. No, Lord, don't even say that. Okay, let's not be the one. If God is rocking this boat, He's exposing things that need to be exposed. It's hard for us to be in the boat when it's rocking. But keep your eyes on Him. It's fine. He's in there with us. It's his boat. It's not going to go down. Let's just ride it out. Now, he has given you things to do. He has given you projects. He has given you dreams, desires, and goals. We've been talking about developing those supernatural goals and those personal goals and following through and accomplishing those goals, focusing on those things that he has put into your hands. Another phrase for that is you stay in your own lane. Don't be worrying about how fast the other person's going or if they're going in the right direction or not. You stay with what God has assigned you. Now, he may have you help with the next person over. But odds are, when he does that, you won't even notice. Because your focus will be on him. When we're sitting at the table with him, and we're all gathered around and we're talking with him, and he's telling us about his plans and about stories about how he works, and he says, we're all eating, and he says, pass the salt, and we pass the salt. And he says, pass the wine, and we pass the wine. And we don't pay attention to what we're doing. He says, do something, and we do it. So then he says, go raise the dead. And we go raise the dead. And we come back and we pick up right where we were. Our focus is on being with him. He says, my people need encouragement over here. And we go give them encouragement and then we come right back. Because our focus is not on what needs to be done. Our focus is on life, knowing God. So not knowing how to know him hinders us from knowing him. All of us, mankind, any of us with a mind, we have an intellectual arrogance. We love to make complex what God has made so, so simple. Knowing God is simple. It isn't easy, but it is simple. Knowing God is what we were made for. It is only when we continue to try to know him on our terms, when we continue to do things our way, that we come to the conclusion that the heavens are as brass, that he's not hearing us, that God isn't there, or isn't listening, or doesn't care, or that I'm not hearing from him, or that there's interference, that I'm under attack, or that he's just going to let everything go to hell, that he's sending us all to hell. We draw these conclusions that the reason we're not hearing from him is because we're not supposed to. That's not for this time. Or that, well, I'm just a sinner, I must have sinned, and I can't come before a holy God, or he's not going to respond to me because I'm doing something wrong. Now, is that God saying that? Or is this a teaching we've heard? And how do we know the difference? How do we find out? Is what you're learning, is what you're hearing, what you've been taught, is it bringing you closer to your loving God? Or is it relying on you doing all the work? Are you experiencing greater rest, greater peace, greater fulfillment? Is his life flowing more and more to you and through you to others? Are you experiencing healing and wholeness and excitement in your life? These are about our relationship with him. He gives us our projects, our goals, because of our relationship with him, not in order to gain relationship or maintain. But think of yourself as, well, you are a son. And as a son, you will someday, and he's teaching us to rule and reign here on this earth. So you are an apprentice. And your master, carpenter, is teaching you how to work with the tools, how to build furniture, how to repair, how to make a living, how to deal with people. And he does that by bringing you into his workshop. You know, just like a mechanic, first you have to learn the tools. And you start out on the easy things. And then odds are you'll specialize one area. Maybe you'll work on transmissions. Maybe rebuilding the engine. Maybe the computer technology. Maybe the whole thing. You'll just always be a generalist. But just start where you're at. And you don't expect all of a sudden, okay, your first day on the job, that you're put at the top of the list of the highest paid, where you don't have to work because you know everything. It's through the process that you learn who you are, what your skills are, what your abilities are. And you get to know your boss. You get to know your master. You're the apprentice. He's the master. Now, we've got a son-father relationship with God, but it's the same thing. We are to be about the business that he puts in front of us. What's his business? Ruling and reigning. His kingdom. Now. Remember, time is a natural phenomenon. Time doesn't have anything to do with eternity. Okay, those are two totally different things. Eternity, eternal life, is a quality of the nature of God, one of his characteristics. Eternal life is not more or better what we experience here on this earth. That's not what eternal life is. Eternal life is the quality of a character of God. And once you experience it, it changes everything. Taste and see that the Lord is good. You have to taste first, experience, before you can see. Again, this is why knowing how to know God is so important. Now, on Thursdays, we go through the whole series. But I wanted to show you how they're connected to the purpose. If we don't know how to know God, we will create our own purposes. We will create our own ideas and beliefs and doctrines and denominations and theologies that will keep us busy. Odds are, if you've been in any group, any church or fellowship or denomination for any period of time, you'll see that there is a cycle. there's maybe five things that go around and around and around in the church. And everybody gets all excited about one and then goes on to the next thing. And very often they'll have, okay, it's missions, you know, time. And then there'll be, you know, inner city missions, and there'll be foreign missions. And then there'll be giving to the widows, or, you know, and on, there'll be different projects to do to keep everybody busy. But God calls us to rest. Now, very often you can't tell the difference between someone who is doing something as an extension of God's hand into the world and those who are doing it out of their own energy, out of their own flesh. The thing still is done. But the person doing it is either being wearied by it or doesn't even notice he's doing it. Don't let your right hand know what your left hand is doing. It's none of your business whether it gets done or not. It's God's business. And unless he makes it yours, it's not your business. Now, there are things that he is making your business. Pay attention to those things. And the only way you're going to know what it is your business, what he's assigned you, is that you can, that you know how to know him. God's purpose for us now is to be in a knowing, experiential relationship with him. That's his purpose for you. So he will not let anything stand in his way. He's not waiting for you to get your act together. He's pursuing you. He's knocking. Yet if we don't know how to know him, we are so easily distracted and deceived, even by what we've been taught, even by well-meaning brothers and sisters in the Lord. But we settle for less than his best. Better and good are the enemies of best. Don't settle for anything less than knowing God personally now, being able to hear his voice, receive specific instruction, have your wounds healed, know what your projects are. Again, it's not complex. It's very simple. It's not easy, but it is simple. He's a real God. He can speak for himself, and he likes to. And to not give him an opportunity to is disrespectful. It's like talking, him being in the same room and talking about him in front of him instead of talking to him. He's right there. So don't settle for anything less than knowing him. And we can first settle that, yes, you do want to know him that way. I know that because you're a spirit being, and your spirit is already knowing him. So this is something you want to do. You may not even realize it. But spiritually speaking, again, you already know what his projects are, what his healing is for you. He is drawing you. He's giving you that thirst so you will hunger and thirst after him, not after the things of this world. Not after solving problems. See in your own life where what you believe hasn't satisfied, hasn't brought you into a dependent relationship with God. So we'll pick it up there next Monday. We'll be getting back together again tomorrow morning, 7:30. Until then, you can always get in touch with me at diane@weekendprepare.org. So have a great Monday, and thanks for tuning in.